We're in a series called Red Letters. We're looking at the words of Jesus, and I just encourage you throughout your week, maybe in conversations that you have with people, that you just talk about the scriptures that we're talking about, just to further the discussion, continue to have conversation. I know summertime, a lot of people are gone. Small groups kind of take some breaks, but I encourage you to get around other people, two, three people, and just further the discussion. Okay, and again, these are the words of Jesus, what they mean for us in 2021, what it means for us as men and women who are trying to do life with people in a crazy world. Can we say that? It's a crazy world. And today we're looking at John 5, 1 through 15. These are the verses that we just saw on the screen, coming alive. And we're just going to talk about these for the next 20 minutes or so. All right, let's pray. Jesus, thanks so much. For every individual in this room, God, I just pray, as we have a lot on our minds, maybe we're thinking about what's happening the rest of the day, maybe we're stressed, maybe there's some anxiety that's going on, or God, maybe we're just at peace right now. Wherever it is that we are, God, I thank you that you meet us where we are, and God, we're asking for these next couple moments that we not be distracted. God, that our minds would be open, our hearts would be soft. God, we ask that you would meet us today. God, we need an encounter with you. And God, whether we know the story or we've never heard it, God, I pray that it would be new to us today and there would be a new perspective. God, we need your help today. As men and women, sons and daughters, husbands and mothers, God, we need your help. So we look to you, the author and the finisher, the one who loves us where we are. And God, we're asking for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First couple verses says this: afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem. It's a holy, it was the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches, and crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. John gives us this picture. If you've never been there, he gives us this understanding of what is happening. And that Jesus showed up on the scene, and it says there's five porches, there's a pool there, and at this pool there's this superstition or belief. In fact, some of you in your Bibles, verse 4 is not in your Bible because a lot of people don't believe that it was originally in the original Greek text, and so it's not in there. It's not just the NIV, it's the NLT. You're like reading, you're like, I looked at verse 3 and I went right to verse 5, where is verse 4? Okay? And there's probably something at the bottom of your Bible that talks about verse 4 that ties in with verse 7. Because he brings up this man who we don't know what his exact status is. We know he's lame. We know he's lying there by himself. We know that there's paralyzed people there. There's crippled people there. There's all of these different types of people that are there. And there's a pool there. And he brings it up in verse 7. And he talks about, can you take me to the pool? Because there's this superstition that every once in a while an angel comes and stirs the water and bubbles come up. And if you get to the pool first, you will be healed. So when Jesus comes to him and meets him where he's at, what is the first thing he says to the obvious question, right? Do you want to be healed? I mean, it seems like an obvious question, yet he instantly says, are you going to take me to the pool? That's my question for us. Why is it easier for us to believe superstition than it is the word of God? Why do I instantly believe something that I've never seen in his life? 38 years. He's had this infirmity, and he's laid by this pool with this false hope that he needs someone to move him to the pool. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and he says, listen, do you want to be healed? Jesus gives this great understanding to you and I on what we are to do and how we are to pray. He says, listen, ask questions to people. If you're a parent of a teenager in this room, ask questions. You got a little kid in this room, ask questions. It's going to be really good answers, right? Depending if they're like mom or dad. Just depends. Ask questions. Jesus asks the most obvious question because he wants to know, what do you really want? What do you really want? See, I think a lot of times we want God to show up and to be a genie or to be this miracle worker. And what Jesus is trying to find out from this man who had been there, Jesus is drawn to this man, 38 years, this infirmity. And he asked him this obvious question because he really wants to know, do you really want this? Because I think a lot of times we think we want what we want, but we don't get what we need. He's saying, listen, do you really want this? And what does he do? He complains. He blames. There is nobody to take me over. No one is here. This is what he's saying. He's complaining. He's blaming. It says this. Verse 5. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked, would you like to be well? I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool. When the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, walk. And instantly, somebody say instantly. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. Here's what I want us to really look at. It says, at the word that Jesus spoke, something instantly transformed in this man. Because this is how Jesus operates. It doesn't say that Jesus walked up, laid hands on the man, and said, get up and walk. It says he walked up, he asked him a question. This is super important for you and I to be asked a question by Jesus. Do you want this? I want us to really think about all of these things because what comes with the miracle, as we'll see in a second, is some other things. We got to see this. He's asking him this obvious question because it ultimately comes down to what is it that you want? What is it that you really desire? What is it that you really want? You've laid here for 38 years. First and foremost, why? Rebellion, laziness. This is why I believe superstition and other things more than the word of God. Why? Because I'm rebellious and I'm lazy about things and I believe philosophy more than I do God's word. And now I approach God's word with the philosophy of man. And when I approach from that lens, when I approach from the lens of, I think I got it figured out, but what does God's word say? There's always going to be confusion. Instead of coming to God's word and going, God, what is it that you say? And does philosophy of man line up with what you say? This is why he asked him, do you want to be healed? And where does he go? To superstition. You know why he couldn't answer the question? Because he believed a superstition more than the one he'd been waiting for. Listen. Culture at this time had been waiting for the Messiah. They've been waiting for Jesus to come. Prophecies in the book of Isaiah, all throughout the Old Testament, talking about Jesus. They're looking for him. And when he showed up, he didn't show up how they thought he should have showed up. You see this all throughout the disciples. How many times you can see this with the sons of thunder, James and John, when you read the Gospels and you see that he wants to bring down fire from heaven and zap all the people. I mean, that's an incredible scene in The Chosen where he gives them the name Sons of Thunder because you wanted to bring down fire from heaven to zap the people who disagreed with you. And Jesus is like, that's not why I'm here. You know why? Because Jesus shows up and it's not how they thought he was going to show up. And so when Jesus visits the man at the pool, do you think about something that you've done or had for 38 years? And Jesus shows up, the one he's looking for, and he asks him this most obvious question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? And he rattles off all the things that he'd been told his whole life. All the superstitions. Many believe that this man laid there during the day while his family went and worked, and then his family would bring him every day to beg and to lay there in hopes that. Continue reading. Verse 10 says this. So the Jewish leaders objected. Of course they did. They said to the man who was cursed, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry the sleeping mat." Isn't that amazing? What did you just witness? This man that you've known was paralyzed for 38 years, just stood up and walked, and you're worried about the rule that was just broken. You ate Chick-fil-A on Sunday. How dare you? And how did you? Yes. Where are your connections? We need more Chick-fil-A managers in this place. Lord, right now. You come to the new people party then. But he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing as that? They demanded. The man didn't know. For Jesus had disappeared into the crowd, but afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. I love this part. Man, it didn't say he found Jesus. Jesus found him and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and tattletaled and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. There's so many questions of these first 15 verses. That in this moment that Jesus heals you, in this moment where your life has been altered and God's grace has been on display, this man did not deserve this. This man is unworthy. This man is the worst of the worst at the pool. And yet Jesus comes, extends his grace to him. Despite him, despite all of us, this is the story of God's grace. It's not just this man, it's we have to see ourselves in this man. Because it's easy to read scriptures and go, what a jerk this guy is. Wow, what is this guy thinking? And yet God comes to us and says, do you want to be healed? Why are you finding satisfaction in these temporary things? It may not be a pool, but it may be other things. Why are you finding things in superstition when I'm the one that has the answer? See, it's easy to look at this guy and go, why are you suffering? Yet there's generational curses that have been passed on and on and on. And we go, why am I going to change? And when am I going to change? And when this is going to happen? And Jesus is looking at all of us and going, do you want to be healed? Do you want to break the curse that has been put on your family over and over and over? This is the story that we just saw. There's men and women who stood up and said, I'm done with the old life. I'm done with believing the superstition. I want this new life in Jesus. It's only found in him. And so I'm done with this. I'm breaking that curse. They're answering yes to that question. But the question still remains for all of us. Do you want to be healed? It says, as he left, and as he's now in the temple, that Jesus comes to him, because Jesus always comes back to this. It's time to repent. He always comes back to repentance. You know why? Because Jesus came to save people. And the downfall, the disappointment, the awkwardness, the uncomfortable of John 5 is that Jesus radically changed the outside. And the man didn't want changed on the inside. The radical change of who Jesus is that he always calls people to repentance. He says, stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. What is he saying? He's saying there's a grave warning that happens to all of us when we know what we know that we now can't unknow. What is this? This is me going, I know who Jesus is. I've tasted and I've seen. I can no longer keep going back and thinking that I can abuse the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the blood of Jesus. I can't just keep going back. It's a warning that Jesus is giving to this man. Worse things will happen to you when you abuse the grace of God. He's like, Listen, I'm going to give you this warning. It's the same warning he gave in John 8 to the woman who was caught in adultery. He said, listen, go and sin no more. In this moment where he could have seen this guy and be like, hey, how are your legs doing? Right? He could have looked down and like, woo, those are good new pair of legs. How are you running? How many steps you got in today? I mean, there's so many jokes that Jesus could have made, right? All of these things he could have asked. He says, hey, all right, now that you've been radically changed, it's good. Stop sinning. Stop. And here's my warning to you. My warning to you is something worse is going to happen if you don't stop doing what you're doing. We don't know what it was. We don't know what thing he was caught up in. I mean, how much sinning could this guy do laying at the pool every day? Yet he was sinning, and Jesus is going, listen, there's a danger if you don't stop what you're doing. There's a warning in John 5, and this warning is, guys, there is something at hand. There is God's grace at hand, and God's grace that is at hand is for forgiveness. It's for healing. He's coming with a question, and he's saying, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be restored? Do you want to break this generational curse? Then good, go and sin no more. Stop doing what you're doing. I'm calling you to repentance. It's what John did. It's what Jesus did. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What should we do? Repent. Repent. And he gives this warning, and the warning is something bad is going to happen if you keep abusing. And so he's asking this guy, He's calling out to this guy who's a complainer, who's a blamer, who's ungrateful and disloyal. Like, we don't know. We know that when Jesus said what he said, what did he instantly do? He called up his old friends who were the Pharisees who were watching him and went and told on Jesus. See, sometimes it's easier for us when God calls us to repentance. When God calls us to leave the old and to start the new, it's sometimes easier for us just to complain and blame other people for the reason we are the way we are. And I'm going to just tell you right now, if you want to continue to go down this path of complaining and blaming and pointing fingers, I'm just telling you right now, there's some worse things that could happen. Now, I'm not giving you this dire warning as if like you go out and you're going to get hit by a car. I'm saying when you continue in the lifestyle, taking Jesus for granted, taking his miracle for granted, taking his question for granted, I'm just telling you, there is a danger, there is a warning that comes with his miracle. There is. So he's asking us to be aware. He's saying, be aware. Some people are so obsessed with the rules that they miss the miracle. We're so obsessed with things that don't really matter that we miss the miracle that's happening in front of us. We're so obsessed with what's happening in culture that we're missing the fact that God is at work in people's lives and people are being transformed. What should happen when we leave here today? What should be the focus when we leave out of these walls, out of these doors? What should be the focus is that 12 people's lives were radically changed. And because they were radically changed, that's all that matters. That's it. Because the miracle that happened is that someone went from death to life. And if you know those individuals, then you know how far they've come. Yeah, your family members, you're like, I know them. That is not possible without Jesus. Some of you are like, listen, I know you. How in the world are you leading this church? It's God's grace. It's God's grace. Despite us, God shows up. He has compassion. You know how many times the Bible says, and Jesus had compassion on the people. He looked around this place and his eyes were drawn to this man. And he had compassion on him. And he asked him a simple question. And it's the same question he asked us today. Do you want to be healed? You know what some of us have believed, you guys? You know what we've believed? We believed it's just how I am. It's just how it's always going to be. I was raised this way. It's hard to change that person. Instantly, I don't know how else to say this in the Greek except instantly, the man got up and walked. And he didn't even answer the question. There was no faith attached to what Jesus wanted to do that day. I would even say this. Jesus healed the man who kept complaining about his life. And Jesus healed him anyway. And you're so afraid that when you pray for the person in your life who you think's not getting it, maybe it's because you're trying to change an individual and we should let Jesus do it. You know what I try to do in my controlling mind? I try to change people. You don't want me to change you because my change has conditions and emotions. Jesus changes you and you're like, oh, now I see what he's talking about. It's eternal, which is why Jesus comes back to this. You saw the outward change, the new legs, you're running marathons, that's great. You saw that. Here's what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with eternity. I'm concerned with repentance. Jesus always comes back to repentance, to change from a lifestyle. Are you going to sin? Absolutely. Are there going to be days? Yep, you're going to miss it as a mom, as a dad, as a husband. You're going to blow it. What do you do in that moment? You repent. How do I start over? You repent. You know what repentance is? I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And now I'm headed this way. I'm a jerk. I'm being compulsive. I'm being prideful. And now I say sorry. And now I'm going this other way. I'm going this other way because that's what repentance is. I was headed that way towards a real hell, towards some really bad things happening. And then Jesus showed up and I quickly turned around. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going there. That's repentance. And Jesus finds you and he says, hey, your legs are great. I've healed you. I've touched you. Now, reminder, stop sinning. Come on, grow up. Grow up. I know you're 3 years old in the faith, but you're still pooping in diapers. Grow up. Come on, let's get you potty trained. Yep, that's great. Okay, milk's good. Let's put some chocolate in that. Let's throw some steaks on the grill because you need to start eating some healthier stuff. What is that? It's you maturing, it's you growing, and somebody looking at you in your face and going, come on, there's a warning here. And the warning is, stop doing what you're doing. You're bigger than that. Well, no one's ever really talked to me that way. Jesus singled, you know how many people were in the temple? Jesus singled this man out. Hey, guy that was laying by the pool. Can't believe you believe that. You guy with new legs. Stop sinning. Here's the warning. Something worse is gonna happen. But I showed up on the scene and my power was displayed and it instantly transformed you. And because it instantly transformed you, there is a mandate that is on your life to radically change, because God wants to break every chain that is holding you back, every chain that is pulling you down. He says, listen, the best is yet to come. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning to what he wants to do. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. People have asked me all the time, you keep saying the best is yet to come. Yeah, because it is. We haven't arrived. We haven't hit this moment where like, all right, let's lay back and chill and hang by the pool. No, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Why? Because your neighbors don't know Jesus. because your family members don't know Jesus. So the best is yet to come, because we're going to celebrate with them too. Yeah? Would you stand with me? These guys are like, why did you tell us to come up when you did? You're just leaving us up on stage. I thought this new building, I wasn't supposed to sweat. Come on, it's the same question. There's some of you in this room. This is the life-changing question that you're going to hear today. Do you want to be healed? Listen, it's not a question your neighbor can answer. It's a question only you can answer. Do you want to be healed? Some of you, you've been battling addiction for your whole life. No one knows about it because you've hid it really well. You've gotten really good at living a lie, and Jesus shows up on the scene on June 27th, the day that you weren't even supposed to be here, and he shows up and he asks you the question, do you want to be healed? You've been carrying bondages and things for generations, things that have been passed on, and he shows up today and he says, do you want to be healed? Because the healer, the miracle worker, the one that breaks every chain, his power is on display. Not that Life Community Church gets glory, but that his glory would shine brightly in a community that desperately needs a Savior. So the question, as we begin to sing, the question in this hour for the church, come on, do you want to be healed? So as we begin to sing, okay? As we begin to sing, as we begin to act in faith, only you can answer that. Whether you want to come forward, whether you want to look to the person next to you, maybe a spouse, maybe a friend across the room, you're getting serious right now in this moment, and you're saying, yes, yes, I want to be healed. Yes, I'm tired of living this lie. I'm tired of living this secret that has been weighing me down. Yes, I want to be healed. Come on. Come on. If that's you in this room right now, just lift a hand. Jesus, we thank you that your power is on display. God, we thank you that you show up. God, we thank you that you love us and you meet us where we are. God, thank you for your saving grace that despite us, you had compassion towards us. And God, that your plan for us is still real today. No matter how many times we've rejected you, you still have a plan. We're breathing in this room, and because we're breathing, you have a plan. And so, Lord, we say yes. Yes, we need your freedom. Yes, we need you to break every chain. Yes, we need you to change our thinking. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Let's sing this out.